I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to Okayest Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Brittany here.
And Heather. I am so excited for today's episode, but before we get in there, I want to remind you guys, we have taken the month of July off. These episodes that are coming this month have been pre-recorded. We worked our butts off all May to make this happen so that we could enjoy and slow down during the summer break with our kids.
And I would like to think that my future self is really enjoying the break.
So today we have Megan and Stacy of Didn't I Just Feed You on talking about quick weeknight dinners. And I think just finding joy and peace in getting food on the table on a weeknight. And we thought that that was applicable for back to school time because schedules are changing. We're getting back into the paces of being out the door and on a schedule at a certain time when that probably has not been the case all summer. And dinner is always the pain point, no matter what time of year it is, but especially at back to school time.
Yeah, we talk a lot about specific recipes that they make for their families for quick weeknight dinners. We also talk about, we go into some deeper stuff about food and picky eaters and, you know, how our language around food and what we eat also does affect our kids, even if they're only eating a butter bagel every night. And yeah, we met Megan and Stacy at a conference and they were so lovely. They took us to lunch with them. And if you go to lunch with foodies, you know, it's going to be good. And it was delicious.
We basically invented ourselves, but they allowed it.
And yes,
they allowed it and took us under their wing, and we are forever grateful. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to take a minute to beg and plead you to rate and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. It helps other people find our podcast. It helps us grow, and it just means a lot to us, more than you'd think it would.
You can also find us outside the podcast on Instagram. We are at Okayest Moms Podcast, and let's jump into the episode after this quick break.
When I tell you that Brittany and I were beyond excited to bring on House of Wise as a podcast sponsor, it's a bit of an understatement. We have both tried various CBD products over the years to little success. Some flat out didn't work, and almost all of them taste pretty gross. I thought House of Wise would be another well-intentioned brand that fell flat, but I couldn't have been more wrong.
House of Wise is a luxury CBD brand that offers gummies specifically formulated to reduce stress, promote better sleep, increase enjoyment during sex, and improve your workouts. Each full-spectrum CBD product is originally formulated, specially designed, and paired with additional thoughtfully selective active ingredients to help women make the most of each day and give more intention and purpose to their daily routines.
My favorite are the sleep gummies. I have the hardest time falling asleep and staying asleep the older I get, and these have the right amount of CBD, so I'm nice and relaxed and just enough melatonin to help me fall asleep without waking up to that groggy feeling or giving me crazy dreams.
And I am obsessed with the stress gummies. They take the edge off after a long day of balancing all the things, as us moms tend to do.
Not only does House of Wise offer great products, they're also a thoughtful, intentional, women-owned company. House of Wise has an ongoing partnership with The Last Prisoner Project, which is dedicated to decriminalizing cannabis.
If you've been thinking about trying CBD, this is your sign. To try House of Wise, go to okayestmoms.com/wise.
There are two certainties in a mom's life, dishes and laundry. If you're like us, then your washing machine and dishwasher are putting in overtime every day.
Drops makes effective, eco-friendly, and convenient household cleaning products. From laundry pods, they're the original creators, to dishwasher detergent and more. They've got your home covered.
Drops detergent pods are tough enough to handle any stains your kids can throw at them, including those grass stains. Remove odors, yet are still gentle on fabric. They do all of this without any harsh chemicals. Drops uses plant-based ingredients and is dye, phosphate, phthalate, and paraben-free. They come in a variety of light, crisp scents or unscented too.
What caught our eye the most is that Drops is committed to being eco-responsible. Packaging is designed to reduce waste, single-use plastic, and unnecessary shipping materials. Drops has kept nearly 3.5 million single-use plastic detergent containers, tubs, and jugs from polluting waterways. You can even further reduce your carbon footprint by saving yourself a trip to the store when you sign up for the subscribe and save option, so you never run out of a reason to do laundry again.
New customers can save 25% off their first order of Drops with code OKAYEST25, and existing Drops customers can get 15% off with code OKAYEST15 at drops.com. That's DROPPS.com. Hi, Megan and Stacy.
Hi.
Hi.
We are so excited to have you guys on. I know there's a lot of crossover, at least with our audience. They all know you. But in case someone out there doesn't, would you mind telling us a little bit more about Didn't I Just Feed You?
Sure. Didn't I Just Feed You, like OKAYEST Moms, is a weekly podcast where we talk about the highs and lows. I was like, are there any
the lows?
The lows. Nice question mark.
The lows.
Yes. Of feeding families. Although we do like to say it's really a podcast for anyone who identifies as a busy home cook, even if they don't like to cook.
And I just want to build on what Megan just said, because Megan and I have worked for a collective 20 plus years, and we're really young, I swear, in food media. And we just felt like food media is so judgy towards parents, and that it just puts out a lot of like the same old tips without really thinking about the intersection of picky eating in a very real way, budgets, lifestyle, ability. Like some people have a family and they're like, oh, I never cooked for myself before. Like, I don't know how to do this. So we really wanted to create a space that was non-judgmental and could meet you wherever you are. And then also, like, between us, we have everything from a 7-year-old to a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. So literally we can meet you wherever you are with our advice. So that's the thrust. That's the meaning behind it. I just need you.
And that's actually exactly what made me fall in love with your podcast too, because you making dinner for your family every night is not the same as enjoying cooking. And I enjoy cooking and I feel like I'm pretty good at it, but also these kids don't appreciate my talents.
How dare they? It's true. You would get these food writers who are like, if I can do it, you can. It's like, well, actually, no, like this is your job and you love cooking and, you know, you get to work from home and there's all these factors that feel invisible to them. That for us as working parents who have worked in food media in all different ways, where, you know, Megan's had to be on a shoot doing food styling. And I've had periods of time where I'm just writing a book by myself, which is just hours and hours every day. And then you get home and you have to cook a meal. And I felt like we approach food media from that place, like how we feel when we get home at the end of a long day. And we're like, oh my gosh, we have to cook for you guys. This is insane.
We're fully acknowledging that even if you do like to cook, if you love to cook, if you identify as a foodie, it's still a slog to feed your family. Ooh. It's so many meals every single day. Hence why we called it, Didn't I Just Feed You? Because it feels like that. Like, I just threw a snack at you. How can you be asking about lunch or dinner already?
I feel like I can't go a full day without like, didn't you just have this? You just have this? So it really is the perfect.
Very relatable. So quick weeknight dinners, we kind of just touched on this, is the most frequently asked question, the biggest pain point for so many moms. And so could you give us just your best 4 to 5 tips for weeknight dinners?
Ooh.
Okay.
Go ahead,
that's
Megan.
Like choosing favorite children.
It is, exactly.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, I do. Like, I think this is one of those beautiful things. We talk about quick weeknight meals a lot, and there are lots of different ways to approach how you make a weeknight meal quicker for you. I want to give some parameters. I think quick weeknight meal could be a 20-minute meal, or it could be a 40-minute meal, depending on like what's available to you, what you have going on. Some nights I want to have a dinner that's more delicious for me, but it also needs to be quick because we have to get out to baseball or soccer or swim lessons or whatever it might be. So I'm going to put in a little extra time to make something that's really tasty. And then some nights it's like, I just need to get everyone fed because I don't want to be in the kitchen. And that can be a 20-minute meal. So I think we'll give you some tips that cater to both of those things. I would say the two like techniques I lean on the most are doing some bulk cooking or meal prep. I know people hate to say that, like hate to hear meal prep because it sounds like so much. Doing some of that on the weekend to make more meals throughout the week quickly. And then also shortcut cooking, which Stacey's like the queen of this. She wrote a whole book called Make It Easy, which is like shortcut cooking in a really high quality way. Like that, the cooking and quick weeknight meals can start in the grocery store, whether you're buying like deli meat to make meals off of, or you're using the salad bar to buy already prepped veggies at a less expensive cost, or you're reaching into the freezer for staples. Like we love chicken nuggets. There's like no shame in our chicken nugget game. and tater tots, but also things like already prepped stir fry from the freezer or tortellini that we can throw into a sheet pan meal or a soup.
Yeah. You know, nobody likes hearing meal prepped. Everybody also hates hearing meal plan, but, and I go through seasons of it. I know Megan feels the same way. We both kind of exchanged when we first started. Megan was like a hardcore meal planner. I still think that she is. But, you know, we kind of dip in and out of these things where I was more of a meal prepper. Kind of depends on your kids' ages and what else is going on. So I was doing a ton of meal prep for a while. Now that I have older kids and like a 15-year-old, I live in New York City. So he can get around on his own, like pretty much completely. So he can stay out for dinner and then come back or go to a friend's house. It's not easy. It's not hard, rather, because I don't have to coordinate rides. So meal planning is better for me now because I just want to know exactly what I'm going to make and just like have it there and have it available for when people come in and out of the house, you know, and then it can just like sit on the stove or be really easy to kind of put together on your own. I know people hate meal planning, but truly, truly, if you can muster it in any form, it really is such a lifesaver. And the one last pitch I'm going to make for it is that it doesn't have to be this long, protracted process. I actually recommend, and I know Megan has, she'll talk about her own strategies for it, but I actually recommend that you literally put a 10-minute timer on your phone one time a week and do not go over that. And then pick one resource. Don't grab all the cookbooks, grab one cookbook. Don't go to all the sites, go to one site and just pick from there, which leads to my next tip, which is that it doesn't have to be, you're not running a restaurant. It doesn't have to be a different meal like every day of the month. It just like rotate in your favorites, keep track. If something's a winner, great, we're having it again next week, and write it down on your meal plan right away so that you remember it. And then you have only 6 meals to plan next week instead of 7. It just kind of cuts down on the time. And then those recipes, the more you make them, the more you can make them without the recipe, the more you can just throw them together. And then it's second nature. The more you can go into the kitchen and be like, oh crap, I don't know what to make. Oh, you know what? They like this and I can make this with my eyes closed. And it kind of builds on itself.
I like to call those like back pocket dinners. This is the kind of thing that everyone should have, yes, like 2 or 3, and you just always try to have those ingredients on hand. So when your meal plan fails in some way, and by fail, I mean like you forgot to take meat out of the freezer and so it didn't thaw in time. Surprise, your partner has a meeting that they did not tell you about and they're going to be out of the house for dinner. And so like, you're not going to cook what you originally planned. You can rely on a back pocket.
Or you're just tired.
Yes. Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Like you just like permission to just allow that, you know, or you just, this happened to me last night. I had a whole meal plan and by 6 o'clock, I was completely emotionally zapped. It wasn't even a physical tired. I was just like, I can't deal with this. and I just open the freezer and grab the tortellini, and it's great. Like, I don't have to think. It doesn't feel high maintenance. Also, your back pocket dinner should be stuff that your kids like, because the worst is, especially when you're exhausted, even if it only took you 10 minutes to put those tostadas together, you put 10 minutes and it was like putting one foot in front of the other. It feels like such work for those 10 minutes. So to have a kid be like, eh, you're like, oh my gosh, it can send you into a rage if you're not in the right headspace.
And now, what if that happens every night? No.
That might be a whole other episode. Right. I was going to say, and then inevitably you like end up making a second meal, even if it's just a
PB&J,
if it's not something that they like. You said in talking about meal planning, Stacey, that you're like, oh, planning 6 to 7 meals. I would say, especially if you're new to meal planning, if you can start with 3 meals and like plan a leftover night, that feels a lot less intimidating. And then also allows you to throw in like those back pocket meals or takeout, delivery, whatever it might be for your family on a night when you don't feel like cooking.
Sure. If there's a budget for it, I personally plan for 5
okay
meals every night. And then we also plan on like takeout at least once a week. If people can do that, that is such a lifesaver to not have to cook every night.
You'll notice Stacey did not say leftovers, because with 3 men in her house, there pretty much are not leftovers.
Never.
But another favorite technique for like having quick weeknight meals is this idea of like intentional leftovers, nextovers, cooking once, eating twice. Those are all sort of like the same idea, which is that if you don't want to spend your precious time off doing any kind of meal prep at all, on Monday night, if you make a big batch of rice and you save half of it, then that can become Wednesday or Thursday's meal. And you're starting off with that, like you're starting off with a staple.
Yeah. And actually build that. If you're a meal planner, you can build that into your process. So let's say you sit down, you have your 10 minute timer on, you have the one cookbook, and you find a recipe for, you know, chicken and rice that you love. Write chicken and rice, write your veggie if you're going to do a veggie too. And then immediately, rice is something that you've identified that you can cook in bulk really easily. Immediately, like 2 days later, write rice down. And then like when you, as you go down the line on your days, you get to Wednesday, it just says rice there. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to batch rice on Monday night. So now what should I do with rice? Oh, okay. I'll make fried rice. In fact, I'll make chicken fried rice. So on Monday, let me cook extra chicken as well. So you can build that thinking into your meal planning process too, if you want to combine those two strategies to be a superhero to yourself.
I love that tip. I'm doing that for sure.
It really helps. But you know, to Megan's point, if you're a beginner, like go slow and go easy. Meal plan 3 meals. Like, we're giving you options, and it really is a muscle that you have to exercise. Sometimes people jump in and wanting to be like, they're like, okay, I'm going to get a special notebook and this and that. Da, da, da. And then it's hard and it's exhausting, and you didn't build up to that scale, and you're like, oh, screw this. This is just too much. So also go easy and be realistic. I don't know. That's sort of the overarching thing of Didn't I Just Feed You in general. Be realistic. Be realistic about what you have the energy to do, about what your life holds, about what your kids will eat, because you want this to be joyous. And one thing that we really like to say, which is a little off topic but relates, is that when you're feeding kids, there's so much food media that's like pointed towards how to get our kids to be healthy eaters, whatever the heck that means. For us, it's really about How do you foster food joy for yourself and your family? And for some of us, that means doing a little bit of healing around food. Maybe that's too woo-woo. Maybe it appeals. I mean, maybe that resonates, maybe it doesn't. But you also want to then raise kids who have a good relationship with food. And that doesn't mean making sure they like kale by the time they're 15. Like, you can have a good relationship with food and not like kale or Brussels sprouts, or be a picky eater, to be honest. It is so much more important to have a healthy relationship with food and to have food peace and food joy than it is to be someone who eats in some way that has been deemed healthy by the media. So when you keep it easy, you're also fostering that food joy. Like when you're like, you love hot dogs, speaking about myself, you have a kid who likes hot dogs, you love hot dogs. Great. Like hot dog night, let's do this. And then find a way to make it interesting for you too. You know, like make a big batch of chili that you can freeze and make it chili dogs for yourself or something that makes it, you know, tastier for you. But like, you know, go with the flow. You don't try to be something you're not. This whole like wanting to be aspirational, wanting to be Martha Stewart. I just aged myself, but like, I don't know who young moms want to be now, but you don't have to do that. It just makes it harder.
First of all, Martha Stewart is very relevant. She's BFFs with Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
She's second of all, now I want a chili dog.
Yeah.
And I love everything you just said.
I mean, that's the overall theme of motherhood, right? Just go with the flow, be flexible, kind of let your kids lead the way and forget what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Easier said than done. And also taking care of yourself. I feel like sometimes the expectations are about how we take care of our kids. And Stacy said it, like there are ways that you can take very basic kid favorites, whether it's mac and cheese, hot dogs, nachos, and make them more delicious for yourself. And that's like where those, like being quick in some ways or doing a little bit of prep can really help you also enjoy the food that you cook, which is really like so important.
And then the flip side, and not that we take what Megan just said very seriously. We actually had an episode in our supporting membership. We publish two bonus episodes every single month. And we did an entire episode on how to make box macaroni and cheese more delicious for parents. Like that was all we talked about. We weren't like, not how to make it more nutritious, not how to make it more kid friendly, like literally like grab that creme fraiche and treat yourself and add it to that box mac and cheese. Yes, you may. And it is good and you'll be happy. On the flip side, I fed my kids when they were younger. They're 12 and 15 now. I fed my kids what I wanted to eat for a really long time. And sometimes that meant more elaborate things, spicier things, things that they were like, what is this? You know, my kids actually didn't have box mac and cheese until they were like, I didn't buy it as a matter of course until they were teenagers, which speaks volumes about how some teenagers, including my own, eat. But I just wanted to sit down and feel like I love this food. And so then the flip side of that was that I had to be comfortable when my kid was like, I'm not going to eat this. Okay. Don't eat. You know what I mean? That was comfortable for me because of how I was raised. I'm first generation and like crazy stuff was put in front of me. And I was like, I can't eat a fish's with eyeballs, you know, or octopus. I'm Greek. And so my grandmother just didn't give AF. She was like, okay, then you can leave the table. So that was easy to me. I didn't associate that with feeling like I wasn't caring for my kids. But there's just like a whole spectrum of possibilities that can be like taking care of your kids or taking care of you. And so I don't know. That's why you have to like be careful about some of the advice that's given, because that advice comes from your own perspective. Like, take it and then really think about, just even take a half hour to yourself one day and be like, what really would work for me? I'm like, what would really work for my family too? Like, well, it just really doesn't work for me to eat macaroni and cheese all the time. So I'm just not going to do it. But then you have to be okay with your kids being unhappy. And that has to be a comfortable thing for you.
That's such a good point that you bring up, because where I found a lot of peace with the weeknight meal is when because my idea of feeding the family was, you know, this like protein, a little starch, you know, a veggie, like that's what I wanted. And that's what my husband wants, but it was not bringing peace to the land.
Yes.
And so when I finally broke up with that idea and kind of embraced this idea of more shortcuts and more like jazzing up the quote kid food, that cured my weeknight meal burnout and just made everything so much easier. It made grocery shopping easier because I wasn't buying all of these extra ingredients that I was only using one time in one recipe. I was wasting less food. It just took all the pressure off of it and made everything easier.
Totally. I can totally imagine that. I really think, I love that you said you used the word peace, because I think that, again, it's like the food joy thing. It's about having a good relationship with food. I mean, even Megan and I will say all the time, don't make multiple meals. But you know what? I don't know. Ignore us. Like, if making two meals in a night is fine for you, maybe you have a caregiver who's happy to make the kids' food at 5 o'clock, and then you love to cook and you're going to make a great meal that you and your partner love. Do it. Like, yeah, that's awesome.
I'll also say, a lot of the people who are like, oh, we only cook one meal for our family, are not revealing that they're making what we call like a Venn diagram dinner. So they're making all these components that are essentially the same meal, but laid out, everybody's plate looks completely different. Like, one kid is getting a veggie burger, one is having cheese, one is not having pasta, one's getting sliced fruit because they don't like the veg that's prepared. Or even, I think this is funny because I know in Stacy's real life recently, she has one kid who wants like super steamed soft broccoli and one kid who wants crispy raw broccoli. And like, on paper, she's making the same meal for everyone. Everyone is having this bulgogi beef and broccoli on the side, but there's slightly different preparations. And I just think there should be no shame in that, as long as you don't feel like it's creating resentment from you as the home cook. Like, I kind of enjoy that. Like, I know my kids' preferences and I can bring them to make their plates and be like, I know you don't really love mango, but do you want to try some on your plate tonight? And they can say yes or no. Creates like a really good autonomy for them without truly making like a whole entire separate meal.
Well, full disclosure, my kids do eat peanut butter and jelly every night. So, but I've taken the pressure off. Like, that's our answer for now. And so yes, that has been able to bring me peace. There is still chaos, but.
Yes. And that's such a great attitude, because it is for now. Like, I promise you they won't be. And you know what? Who cares if they're eating peanut butter and jelly when they're 15, like, fine. Like, you know, you did your best. They see other food. They see you eating other food. Like, what more can we do? As long as there's that peace and that food joy again.
Also, you kept them alive.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You're welcome, kids. So we talked kind of general ideas. Let's talk more specific recipe, not even recipe, just like a meal you're serving.
Okay. A fun thing is, one of our most popular episodes of all times of Didn't I Just Feed You is how to turn nachos into legit family dinner. And I would say nachos are a quick weeknight meal.
100%. We love meatballs.
Yes. I'm so glad you said meatballs.
Yes.
I'll always say meatballs again.
I will always say meatballs, Megan. Don't you worry.
Okay, but step back, because when we say meatballs, we're not talking like Nona style handmade meatballs on a Wednesday night.
Hell no.
We're talking about, you bought your favorite Costco or Trader Joe's meatballs. You're heating them up in the oven or in a pan. And then you're like adding one or two other things to turn it into a meal.
Yeah.
Whether it's like, go ahead.
Stacey. I just got excited.
I know. Meatballs.
Yes, like, it could be sauce, but I know everybody thinks spaghetti and meatballs, right? So tomato sauce, but a curry sauce, a peanut sauce, like, if your family will tolerate that, all of that is delicious. Megan, you're always making bowl meals.
Yes, with meatballs, but also like hummus, or we do rice bowls a lot. To me, that's like the prototype Venn diagram dinner. Like, I cook a pot of rice. There's either like tofu or ground meat that's like super flavorful to go on top. There's fresh veggies. There's a sauce to bring it all together. And everyone can have a super customized bowl. Like, we all like rice, so everyone's getting rice. One kid is not that into meat right now, so she won't have that on her bowl. Another kid loves meat and he'll have a ton and he'll have all the sauce, but he doesn't like avocado, so he's not going to have it. But you don't have to limit bowls to rice. We've talked about hummus bowls on Didn't I Just Feed You. You can do pasta, like whether it's orzo or spaghetti, and do any kind of bowl meal with those as well.
Rice noodles, soba noodles. And that's like, you can do that with meatballs. meatballs, you can also warm up, like even in the microwave, where you don't have to worry about like cooking them perfectly, just get them warm enough to slice through them and then fry the slices in a pan, just get like a little crust. And it's kind of like a gyro. My ancestors just turned in the grave hearing me say it that way, but that's okay. Gyro, but like you can put that in pita with some hummus or with some tzatziki, or make any kind of sandwich, right? You can build like a banh mi sandwich if you have, you know, a family that's excited about that kind of thing. But really, I know it sounds like a banh mi sandwich, a hummus bowl, like that might sound like out there suggestions, but keep going back to what Megan's saying about the Venn diagram. If you have the bread, you have the pickled carrots, you have sliced cucumbers, you have cilantro, you have meatballs, you put that all together for yourself, but then let your kid, whatever, eat whatever, eat some cucumber slices and plain meatballs before you put any dressing on it. You know, another kid can have just the veggies and maybe you have some leftover rice in the fridge. You know, there's lots of different ways that you can do it. Okay.
We can't not mention family salads, because I think people, they hear salad and they're like, absolutely not. My kid is not eating arugula. They're not even going to touch romaine or iceberg, which fair. But if you put some chicken nuggets from the freezer into the oven, yep, maybe you roast some like baby Yukon gold potatoes alongside with the nuggets. And then you like grate some cheese, chop some cherry tomatoes. Everyone can have a meal that again looks totally different on the plate, but like you're only doing one batch of prep. And especially like in this back to school season where produce is so great, like there's fresh corn, like all this stuff, and it can be a little less expensive. That's a great way to introduce salads to your family. It's like, listen, you're still getting chicken nuggets, but on the side, you're going to have this little bit of romaine with a little bit of dressing on it. You can have cube cheese on the side, these cherry tomatoes. It's like one of our favorite ways to feed our family, a Venn diagram dinner that's not based on a starch.
We also have a whole episode on sheet pan meals, which I just want to talk about for a second, because they're like promised as the answer to busy home cooks. And actually, what we talk about in the episode is that you have to, there is a way to approach them to get something that tastes peak delicious, because sometimes just throwing everything onto one pan with one either marinade or dressing or seasoning combo can just hit like one note and be kind of like flat. So you can listen to the episode for the details, but what I do like about them when we're talking about feeding kids is that you can take one or two sheet pans and then you can prep your protein slightly differently for your picky eater. So like if it's chicken, you can season the chicken or baste it with barbecue sauce for everybody. But for that one kid who just wants plain chicken or like only likes everything dipped in ranch dressing, you know, you just make one chicken breast that you can serve with some ranch on the side and everybody else gets barbecue, but you haven't done a ton of extra work. Everything's all the same ingredients, all the same cooking step, but you can get different flavors out of it.
Also, I love sheet pan meals for the nights where you need to be doing something else while dinner's cooking, especially if you're willing to dirty more than one sheet pan so you can get like slightly different textures and you're not having to like add things every 10 minutes.
Yes.
But like, that's a great, when I need to get my little leaguer ready, like I can put stuff in the oven, get him changed, get all gear together, and it can be ready when he's ready.
Can we play a little game though? Because if you want specific ideas, I kind of want to hear from you guys, like what are one or two things that your kids will eat? And then maybe Megan and I can kind of like riff a few concrete dinner ideas.
Oh, I love it. The most, I do like the idea. We have started doing a lot of those Venn diagram meals, and those always have the most success. Tacos is always a hit in our house, because somebody will eat some sort of that. Spaghetti is also another big one for us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Spaghetti is great. So spaghetti, does that mean they will eat any kind of pasta, or does it have to be spaghetti? Like, is penne going to get a big no-no?
No, they'll eat any kind of pasta. I joke that my kids are like the presidents of the butter noodle club. So they will eat any kind of noodle, and then we can have sauce and like my, I have 75% of us will have sauce and meat and, you know, like all of it. But Mr. Butter Noodle gets his.
I mean, let's happy. Be honest. You can't really beat a butter noodle.
I love a butter noodle, but I mean.
That's some good stuff right there. Will he eat any kind of vinaigrette or salad dressing? Not necessarily on salad, but would he eat like a pasta salad?
Oh, God, no.
Mm-mm. Just
if
like,
there's okay. a hint of anything green on it, don't you even consider it.
Okay. So then it sounds like a Venn diagram thing is the way to go. It sounds like you can do lots of things with pasta that would work for three quarters of the family. Okay. Yeah,
that's the biggest tip.
I want to shout out a tip I took from Stacy years ago, which is like, anytime you cook pasta, like you have to bring a lot of water to a boil to do it. You should like double the amount of pasta that you're cooking. So you can have one, and like people don't think that you can meal prep pasta. They think you have to like cook it that night, but you can totally do like two or three boxes of spaghetti on one night, eat one box that night, and then have the others to like quickly make dinners another night, even if you're just gonna give that one kid buttered noodles again.
Yeah, totally.
There is always pasta in our fridge, like cooked pasta ready to go.
Okay, I love that. That's gives great. Even more ideas. Okay, but Stacey had one idea to jump off, I could tell, of like what we're doing with spaghetti to make
no Heather's I was
easier.
Actually gonna ask Heather, what was the thing that she said before spaghetti?
Tacos.
That tacos. So even your picky eater will eat tacos?
He will do a quesadilla.
Okay. And can almost anything go inside of it or almost nothing? Just cheese.
Strictly cheese.
Strictly cheese. Does he like pizza?
Loves pizza.
Okay. Well, I mean, the kid's got good taste. Let's be honest here.
I mean, the things, his staples are solid, but I mean, like, we'll only eat chicken in breaded nugget form. Like, we cannot convince him that the thing inside the nugget is the same as like the grilled chicken breast.
It's okay though.
I think that I was just totally. Gonna say, like, I think that is okay, but it is also really frustrating.
He's very stubborn, and that's what's frustrating about it. Like, I'm fine with your likes and tastes and opinions, but just give it a shot.
Yeah, and the more you're like, just give it a shot, the more he's gonna be like, nope, no, thank you. Brittany, what about your kids?
I have one very picky eater. He's my 10-year-old. He basically lives on buttered bagels, those buttered mini bagels. And I was just racking my brain for the last time he had something other than that for dinner. He will do a peanut butter and jelly. It's not his favorite. He does like hummus and naan. We switch that out in lunches a lot. Lots of carbs in that kid's life. He doesn't love meat. He loves fruit. He'll pretty much eat any fruit, but it is a struggle. And the other three of us will, my 8-year-old is getting better, but he'll actually
try
things.
Dips of any kind?
He did recently try ranch and he liked that.
Yeah.
I also like ranch.
Yeah. The gateway dip.
Right.
Gateway dip.
Exactly. He'll do carrots and ranch. I'm trying to think of what other veggies he'll put near his
but
mouth.
You know what, that's still so a lot. Doesn't it is a lot, and is also bread and dip is good too, by the way, you know what I mean, like if you slowly move them towards, I know it sounds like I don't know, first of all, pita chips and ranch. Ask me how I know. It's a very tasty, delicious combination.
Oh yeah, we'll have to try that. He might try that. Hard, you will try foods. Every night we do a new food and they always agree to take a bite. And so you will try them. He just does not like very much.
I mean, you know, that's the way it goes.
I was very picky as a kid too. And I came to like onions and like all of these exotic flavors when I was a kid, as I got older, when no one was forcing me.
My husband only ate pasta with enriched pasta sauce because they were worried that he wasn't getting enough protein. That's literally, and carrot sticks, all he ate for years. And now he's the most adventurous eater.
Oh, that gives me so much hope.
Like crazy adventurous. Like we go places in other countries and they're like, would you like to try bugs? And I'm like, I'm good. And he's like, sure. Like, let's do it. He'll try whatever.
That's awesome.
which I think is a good, like, I want to say before we dive into ideas, like, I know that you are judging yourself being like, oh, I don't know when the last time he had something that wasn't buttered bagels was, because we also individually do that with our kids, but you guys are doing a great job, like, that you care what your kids eat, yes, that you're totally making lots of choices available to them, even when it's like a huge disappointment and expense that you're like throwing away the new food that no one liked. So I feel like you need to know you're doing a much better job than you
think
that you are.
Totally.
But brass tacks, any of those things, like all the things that you've mentioned, from tacos to spaghetti, there's lots of ways to make that like fun for the rest of the family and put that new food on the side by just changing up sort of like the flavor story of each of those. So tacos don't just have to be the classic like ground meat. You know, you can do fish sticks, you can do chicken nuggets if that's like the protein that they love, like do chicken nuggets in a taco and make a little broccoli slaw.
You know, my younger son has recently discovered meatball tacos.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I put in his lunch today. He is obsessed.
Yeah. And a meatball taco can turn into like a meatball sub later down, which maybe can turn into trying a red sauce, maybe, you know, like
yeah, he might do
these
that, actually.
Things can like build on themselves if you just kind of go slowly and take what they like and eventually just change it a slight bit, but with respect. You know, and not like being pissed about it, because like, whatever, they'll be fine.
And you don't have to, I was going to say, you don't have to do a lot of rebranding of that. Like we had an experience recently. I have a hardcore burger lover. She would eat a burger, like even though she doesn't like meat in other forms, she would eat a burger every night. And I made chicken parm burgers and I served them up as like, this is a chicken burger. And I was like, I know this is a little bit new and different, but I think it's going to be really delicious. And they both gobbled it up to the point where now we've made that recipe multiple times. So not always like rebranding what you're serving and being like, well, this is just taco pasta or pizza quesadilla, even though those things are really good.
I saw you share those on Instagram and they looked delicious. And I have that cookbook in my Amazon cart right now.
Okay, nice. Just press buy. Just purchase it.
But I do think that is the key, because that was the key with my daughter. So she loved tomatoes, and then that got her to tomato sauce, which got her to spaghetti, which got her to meat, which got so it, but it just, you have to really work and find that like one you're in. You really have to search for it sometimes.
So there's a great book for anyone who has a very extreme picky eater called Food Chaining. I believe that's the name of the book, but it's also the name of the method that's used for a lot of kids who have sensory challenges, who are on the spectrum, because there's lots of different reasons. I mean, for, you know, kids who are, the word is escaping me. Oh, for kids who are neurotypical, everybody kind of talks about it being a power struggle, which I do think is probably the case most of the time, but there are different ways. My kids are on paper very neurotypical, but my oldest, who's 15 now, who doesn't need any support, has never needed any support through school, but when he was very little, was extremely sensitive to sound. I would have to, for his birthdays, I would have to say in the invitation, like, please do not sing the birthday song, because he would like cover his eyes and his ears and want to like crawl under the table because it was just way too overwhelming for him. He actually wasn't a picky eater, but like, you know, this idea that it's always just a power struggle, especially if you have a neurotypical kid, is not necessarily the case. Food involves textures. It involves smells. It involves, you know, like all these fine motor movements, which, you know, one of my kids had a hard time breastfeeding. Like that has to do with a lot of motor movement. And both needed PT. So like, there are a lot of reasons why kids might be picky. But when you have a kid who's really extreme, food chaining is exactly what we're talking about. Building on something they like. And even for some kids who are really extreme, it can be like going from one brand of frozen waffles to another. Like, that's normal. That's something that a lot of families struggle with. Like, if you have a kid like that, you are not alone by any means. But the idea is to very slowly inch them. If they only eat Eggo waffles, do that. And then introduce one day, you know, I don't know, Kashi brand. That seems like a real extreme departure from Eggo. But you know what I mean? You can do it slowly.
Yeah. I was going to say Vans. That's the other brand. Vans like, is not quite Eggo, but they have like some whole grain.
Yes, totally.
Did we get too far away from quick weeknight dinners? We got really excited.
Oh, I love this.
Eaters and Venn diagram dinners.
No, I think we went to an even better place.
Okay, good.
You know, I do want to say about also having an extreme picky eater that the more simple you can make their meal, like if they're really just going to eat a buttered bagel and you're going to find peace with it, then maybe, and this won't work for everybody, but maybe then lean into like putting all your cooking energy into bringing yourself some food joy. Fine.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Here's your buttered bagel. I'm making steak frites on a sheet pan. Yeah.
It becomes easier. And he can do it himself now. You know, I mean, overall it's fine. I do want him to also have that food joy though. So like going out to a restaurant with him is not great. And I love, you know, trying new foods and whatnot. I know that'll come with time, but it's, you know, it's just, we're in a weird spot right now.
Well, here's what I'll say about that though, because a lot of people feel like, well, I gave in to him and now he's not going to ever try anything new. But actually, I think it becomes more challenging when the whole family caves into that, because then there's no kind of additional exposure. At the very least, your son who's eating the buttered bagel has the smells of your meals cooking, sees you eating something different. Like eventually, if he's interested, there's an opportunity to try it. It just is going to be on his own terms. So there's so much going on in your kitchen that actually benefits him and can be doing some work towards inching him away from picky eating. It's just going to take a while. It's going to take
surprise
longer.
Me sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's this? Can I try this? If I don't have it, I'll be like, yes, I'll go buy it right now.
Yeah. And to your point, Stacey, about neurodivergence, a kid with any slight amount of neurodivergence, yes, the sense and the taste can be more intense. Yes. And so that will contribute to the picky eating as well.
Totally. Like having a curry waft through the house is going to be really like powerful. It might even be a little off-putting at first, but it's there and it's entry level for getting in and starting to like, you know, normalize to their senses these other flavors and smells and things that are such an important part of eating.
I love that. Okay. You made me feel better. Thanks.
No problem.
So quick doesn't always equate to cheap. Do you guys have any quick budget tips to kind of keep this all in check? Because it's easy to buy, especially if you're doing those Venn diagram meals, to buy eight different ingredients to go with it. And that doesn't always jive with the budget.
Totally.
I think this is a question we'll continue to see too, because like grocery costs just continue to rise. I want to be explicit that when we are doing Venn diagram dinners, I'm not always like buying all of the topping options for my whole family. And honestly, like a lot of meals at my table are filled out with like the same sliced cucumbers or apple slices, like night after night, lunchbox after lunchbox, because I want peace at my table. I don't want the power structure. So one thing is like trying to buy in bulk the things that you know your family will eat and just use them in creative ways. Like Stacey and her steamed broccoli / raw crunchy broccoli, like just buying more of one thing rather than spending a lot of money on like a bunch of different things.
Totally. Frozen is great, because also when people think about their budget, there's the output at the cash register, but then food waste is a huge piece of how you should think about your budget. So even if the frozen, I don't know, whatever costs a little bit more, you know, it will keep and it will be there for you, quote unquote, fresh. I do think, even though it's a little bit hard to hear, that doing bulk cooking instead of buying the convenience packets will save you money. So that goes for like the grains. I'm thinking of rice as their prime example. It's so lovely. Pasta's another one. Like every once in a while, I will buy a pouch of rice or pasta. But for my family with a tween and a teen and a 6'4" husband, first of all, I have to buy so many pouches to feed everyone. And that's so, so expensive. I'll buy them sometimes just for my teen to have for like, because he's the kind of kid who just, if it's not easy, he's not going to eat. Like he just won't eat at all. So I have to make it as easy as possible for him to get nutrients. He can go. He recently played 2 basketball games at a tournament and he had to leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. So he didn't eat and he ended up just not eating all day and playing 2 games, like bananas he won't eat. So convenience, I really think about convenience. And then the rest of the time I'm just making it in bulk because that's just going to be cheaper. I can buy a huge bag of rice or multiple, you know, boxes of white label pasta and just make it all at once and keep it in the fridge. And that's so much more affordable.
And you can make your own. This is like a new revelation I just had. You can cook rice and then freeze it, cook, yes, and make your own microwave bags.
Yes, totally. But salad dressings, like a lot of curry sauces, we did an entire episode on sauces. So a lot of those quick meal starters, which are so convenient and great, if you're really on a budget, it doesn't take that much. I mean, I know it kind of sucks to be like, on Sunday night, just throw together a curry sauce. But honestly, like you can make a peanut sauce in a blender. You can make a curry simmer sauce, you know, in like 20 minutes and then put it in a jar and it will keep for the week and you save some money that way.
And that's that cook once, eat twice, or prep once, eat twice. Like you can make a curry sauce, have it one night this week, and then freeze a batch of it or a small portion of it for another night too. As you can tell, we rely on our freezers a lot. I'm like,
yes,
what can we throw in the freezers? And then proteins, that is like a big money suck. I know in Stacy's house and in my house. So buying instead of like buying flank steak, buying like a bigger cut, like a pork shoulder or a Lester's, like people don't like, people buy chicken breasts in bulk, but like chicken thighs and chicken drumsticks, they are always less expensive. They just, you know, aren't as marketed as chicken breasts are as yeah, being this great protein. And also we love thighs and drumsticks because they taste better.
They do. Although like my younger kid doesn't like dark meat. He wants breast meat because it's white. It's less fatty. Like there's nothing on it. He doesn't have to. I'm thinking of chicken in particular because I wrote an entire cookbook, Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. But, you know, one of the things that I was adamant about, my editor at first was like, I don't really know. I don't know if people are going to break down their own bird. You want to save money? Your kids, your family eats a lot of chicken. Trust me. It's going to seem like the most insane suggestion, but in the book, I have step-by-step photos. You can go onto YouTube if you don't want to buy the book or get it from the library and look it up. Breaking down your own chicken, or if your kids like only thin cut, buying your own chicken breasts and learning how to make them thin cut really takes not even an hour and will save you so much money because then you're kind of in control of processing the meat yourself. You know, if you have the stomach to do it, I know some people just don't like doing it, but it really can save you tons of money.
Hot tip, you can at some markets, I'm not saying like every market, not every like Kroger, Albertsons, whatever, will do this for you. But some markets you can actually like buy a whole chicken and ask the butcher at the counter to break it down for you. So, and sometimes there's a small fee for that. Sometimes it's this, like it's no extra cost. Like Publix, I know, will do a lot of that kind of work for you. So then you're still getting all the parts, you're saving money, and someone else is doing the work and the cleanup for you.
Oh gosh. And then you've got bones and you can put them in an Instant Pot and make your own broth, which saves money. Broth can be really expensive too. Yes. I know these sounds like more like homesteady, like we're veering into that direction.
We're going to make our own butter too.
Yes, but listen, your own butter and you'll just save so much money.
Listen, we're recommending the things easier on that spectrum. And it's just a matter of like, you know, your time money matrix.
Yeah.
Like, where do you need to save most and how much energy and willingness do you have? So they're just options.
Also, not to be annoying, but if you meal plan and do like a little bit of meal prep and your meal plan includes a night where you use up leftovers, you save a lot of money on groceries because you're not wasting food. You've got a plan, a loose plan, even for things that are leftover, don't get eaten. And meal plan, one of the tenets of meal planning is that you're also like looking in your fridge and pantry before you go to the grocery store. So you're not accidentally buying like more pasta or more beans that you don't need at that moment.
Okay. I know we probably need to move on, but we can't talk about budgets without talking about snacks. I know this is about dinner.
It's bad news. It's bad news, snacks, you guys.
Snacks cost so much money at the supermarket. And so really, like, if you're thinking about your food budget and you're thinking about, like, again, that matrix of like effort, time, and money, if you want dinner to be super convenient because, you know, you work out of the house, you come home at 6 every day, at most you have 40 minutes and you're exhausted and you want to buy the convenient stuff then, but you have weekends off and you can make a batch of muffins, maybe drop the mini muffins, the packaged mini muffins, which are so expensive, and make a batch of muffins and then buy that convenience pouch rice. It's just, that's a place where we spend so much money because everything's individually packed and everything's convenient. And actually, granola, nuts and seeds, muffins, you know, buying a round of pizza dough and making like pizza roll-ups, you know, that popcorn. You can just have over popcorn. These are all things you can either buy in bulk or buy pretty cheaply and make without a whole lot of effort.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. We feel so lucky to know you both and to look, you're like our lighthouse in the podcast world. Can you let our audience know where they can find you?
Everywhere, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can find Didn't I Just Feed You. You can follow us on Instagram where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. And we have a really great newsletter. We send out just 2 a week, but you can sign up for that at our website, didntijustfeedyou.com. And we have this really amazing community that anyone can join for free. You just give us an email. And that's also on didntijustfeedyou.com/community.
I love it. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys. We love you guys.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.